All right, well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Working Group call on Monday, the 13th of May, 2019. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Zoom room. If you're only on the audio bridge at this time, would you please let yourself be known now? And I do have Caboose noted. Anyone else? Okay, hearing no other names, I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. And please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will turn it over to Jeff Newman. Please begin, Jeff.
Thank you, Julie. This is Jeff Newman. Welcome, everyone. It seems like we are hearing some things in the background, so if everyone can please mute, that would be great. The agenda is up on the screen right now. Remember that, actually, there is only one document up on the screen, so that's great. We will spend our time today talking about applications assessed in rounds, and hopefully also get to talk about different TLD types. And but before we do that, let me ask to see if anyone's got any updates to their statements of interest. Okay, I'm not seeing anyone with the hand raised. And thank you, Steve, for putting the link in for the Google Doc. Just before we get to that that subject, I did also want to just give an update. So we are establishing or put in for the request to establish the separate smaller mailing list to talk about the predictability model. There have been a couple of posts already in the last week and some even today on that subject. I'm going to ask that once that mailing list is set up that we can move that discussion over there. And then ultimately we will bring the discussion back or any results back to the full group. But I don't think we need to necessarily clog everyone's emails up with all of our back and forths on this subject. And we may do the same with other subjects as the need arises. So I do want to start getting in the habit of doing more work on email and in between meetings as opposed to just the time that we spend during the meetings themselves. So are there any questions on that and or anything else that anyone has for any other business? I will add, this is Jeff Newman again, I will add under any other business, maybe just a 2-minute update on this topic on the at the GDD Summit, the General Domains Division, the Global Domains Division Summit that was last week in Bangkok, which I was there and there were a couple others from this group that were there as well. So I can just give just a short update on what was discussed. Okay, with that said, we can go to the Google document or put it up on the screen. I'm actually looking on the Zoom screen, but maybe I'm thinking I might, it's big enough. I'll use the Zoom screen, or maybe not. the picture, there we go, that's good. Whoever's controlling it, leave it like that, it's good. This topic, just to give a little bit of background, so this was a topic or is a topic on not just the next introduction of new GTLDs, but was also intended or is intended to forward or to look forward towards subsequent application windows even after this next application window opens. And I'm using very vague terms. For a reason, because this whole section talks about rounds or other types of introductions. So I think in looking through the comments, and you know, we went over those comments a number of months ago from the comments that we got back from all of the groups. And it seemed like there was general support. I should say actually unanimous agreement, I think, that no matter what we do on an ongoing basis, the very next introduction of the application window, so the very next application window should be in the form or must be in the form of a round. And this is for the same reasons that we talked about on a number of occasions, that because there's been a significant length of time since the last round, since 2012, so far it's been 7 years, and you know, by the time we launch, it could be up to 10 years or something like that. Because of that lengthy period of time, there's certainly pent up demand. There's also, a feeling that we would need to do a round as opposed to any kind of first come, first serve process, which was an option, and we'll go through the comments and the future after that based on what we received. But it certainly seemed like there was definite agreement that the next introduction should be in the form of a round. And also there seemed to be general agreement that whatever we do going forward, we should not have indefinite periods indefinite periods of time in between application windows. So unlike the time in between the 2012 round and the next one, you know, nobody knows exactly when the next application window will be because we did not set out specific rules or criteria as to what should govern when the next introduction should be. But it seemed like there was general support that whatever we do after this first round should be predictable and should not be an indefinite period of time. There was also a policy. So in the policy goals, it also states that when it becomes operationally feasible, application procedures should occur on a regular and recurring basis. So again, that kind of talks about the indefinite periods of time in between and making sure that this is not just a one round and then you drop it. This way it alleviates pressure from those that may not be ready to apply in this very next round, but it leaves some certainty in their minds that there will be another application window and some idea of when that application round will be, either by a certain time or by certain criteria. So those are the general policy goals. And again, I've been very vague in terms of what the time period should be between rounds or whether it indeed should be rounds, because after those sets of agreement, we have some issues or some diversity in opinions that we need to talk through. But before we get into those, are there any questions or disagreements with the comments that have been made so far or the policy goals as they're stated in this document or as I may have discussed? So Kathy Kleinman has her hand up. Sorry. Okay, Kathy, yes.
Thanks, Jeff. So this is Kathy. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. As one of the overall policy goals, and I don't know how we add it, but I think we should, is what the rounds provide for the non-contracted parties, the non-applicants, is, and here I'm taking from the non-commercial stakeholder group comments, is the predictable periods for participation, when the comments will be taking place, when the objections should be taking place. I think we should add that as part of our policy goals, is this predictable opportunity for input from the larger community. It's definitely something we're writing into every other part of our policy and our procedures. So I'd like to see it in the overall policy, if we might. This idea for this very predictable periods of input coming in from the outside community. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Kathy. So I do think your the notion that you've expressed certainly came from a number of different groups. So I certainly think that's important, but I'm going to hold off on it just for a couple minutes, simply because we're going to talk about what to do afterwards, and maybe it will be a policy that we will support of only doing rounds. And it seems like there's some leaning in that direction anyway, but let's, we're not quite there yet. I'm trying to take it a little bit piecemeal, but certainly the rationale that you've explained was a rationale of a number of groups that do not want to ever go to a first come, first serve or any other process, because having rounds would be predictable from a monitoring standpoint, from a comment standpoint, objections and everything else. So we're not quite there yet. I think we may end up there. But certainly that is the rationale for why a number of groups were advocating that. So before we get to that notion though, I do want to talk with specifically the next round, and I think we're going to call it a round because it seems like there's agreement on that notion. Let me go to Anne, and then I'm sorry, Christopher, then Anne, then Maxime. So Christopher, please. So Christopher, I can't hear you. I don't know if you've got coverage or if there's an issue.
Christopher, it seems that your audio dropped. Oh no, it didn't. Hold on one moment. Okay, go ahead, Christopher.
Okay, I'm still not hearing Christopher. Okay, so, wait, Christopher, I think I just heard you. Are you there?
Okay. Jeff, on this question, I agree that we should proceed with rounds. May I just recall that some of us, and certainly myself, have argued strongly that the next round should be managed in phases, and the phases should be specific to particular groups or types of applicants. This applies especially to applicants for geographical names, probably for applicants for brands in that order, and probably for applicants for community domains. I would not support the next round being an all-comers round, in which the staff and the evaluation process would have to address themselves to multiple applicants from quite heterogeneous groups of categories of applications. That I think is would be too easy to game and too difficult to evaluate objectively. Thank you. And thank you, staff, for finding the way to unmute me, because I can't. I can't find a button for to unmute anywhere on any of these screens.
Okay, thanks, Christopher, and thank you, ICANN staff, for helping. So, Christopher, on your comment on phases within a round, I'm going to also ask that certainly is going to come up as a subject in just a minute anyway. I think you've introduced it, but let me just see if check with the other people with their hands up to just first talk about the notion of starting with a round, and then we'll get back to that new idea, which several had brought up during the comments. So let me go to Anne, and then Maxime.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks. It's Anne Aikman Scalise. And I wanted to focus on the policy goals as drafted in the document. Specifically, a couple of questions I want to bring up about the last policy goal. And it says, when it becomes operationally feasible, application procedures should occur on a regular and recurring basis. So two questions about that that I think may need a little clarification. One is exactly what we mean by regular and recurring because of all the comment that was received with respect to first come, first serve. And I realize that this is probably drafted to avoid the first come, first serve language, but I don't know that regular and recurring is specific enough to describe what we are trying to say. And then the second question is very much tied in with that, which is the question of review teams. You would note that ICANN itself in 2.2.3D asks for the PDP to clarify when it's talking about these policy goals in relation to rounds, how those fit in with consumer competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice review that is required by the bylaws. So when this last policy goal that's listed here makes a reference to items that are operationally feasible, but no reference to the required reviews. And so I think that that last policy goal has to be clarified on those two points.
Yeah, thanks, Anne. Everyone's wanting to get to the next question or the next step. But I think that's a good...
No, it's not really that. I'm sorry, Jeff, I have to interrupt. It's not that. It's how this policy goal is stated is, to my mind, inaccurate because it talks about operational feasibility with no reference to the CCTRT review, and it talks about regular and recurring basis, and it's stated as the overall policy goal. So, I mean, it has to be clarified as being subject to something other than operational feasibility.
Okay, right. So let me go to your first part first and then the second part. So regular and recurring basis was drafted intentionally vague because one of the items that we're trying to get to in the next several questions is, you know, what does that mean? Does that mean a specific time period? Does that mean governed by specific criteria has to be met before you start the next one? So there's a bunch of questions that will narrow down that policy or could narrow down that policy goal and clarify what we mean. So that's something that we're getting to in with the next couple of questions. And then on the CCT review team, that's also a question that we need to talk about as a group as to whether that review has to stop everything else from going on or whether that review can be done in conjunction with, let's say, a subsequent round. You know, we still have to talk about that. It could go either way depending on what we feel. So let's get to those next questions now. And then we'll see if we have to refine those policy goals. I just didn't, by drafting these policy goals, we kept it vague for now just because we don't have answers to those other parts yet. And once we do, we can then modify. So.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thanks a lot, Jeff. That one just is in question. And I do think that it may well end up needing modification. Thanks very much.
Yep, thanks, Dan. Okay, let me go to Maxime.
Maxime Alzoba, for the record. I have a few items. First, when we refer to non-contracted parties, we have to be careful because applicants, if they are not affiliated with registries or registrars, they are not contracted parties. Because the last time there were, yeah, nothing but the formal contract allowing to send money to prevent violation of anti-laundering laws around the world. Basically, it wasn't a contract granting you something in return of money. It's just a formal contract saying it's okay to send money in exchange for this signature. The second item is about public comments. Actually, comments made by ICANN staff are not public comments. ICANN doesn't represent public. It's not public. It's staff or management or the board. That's it. So just for clarity. And the third item, if reviews are to stop policy work, it would be a violation of the the purposes of the organization, because for GNSO, policy is the important thing. And reviews are ongoing process. If they stop something, we would do almost nothing. Because at any moment of time, we have a couple of reviews going on. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Maxime. That's an important point, and also just highlights the question that I put in. You can decide to do rounds in parallel with reviews, and when the review is completed, you could then decide that that implementation of that review then gets put in at the start of the very next round that happens after the implementation is completed. Or you can decide like we do now, which is everything's on hold pending the completion of the review. So that's a question we are going to discuss now as part of this. And so I'm definitely interested as to how others feel in this group. So Maxime was quite, clear in saying that he thinks it could be done in parallel, that it does not necessarily need to put a stop to everything while the review's ongoing. Do we have other views on that question? Since I know that's a little bit out of order, but I think since the subject's been brought up and mentioned by a couple people already, let me throw that question out. So yes, the bylaws do dictate a certain types of reviews, whether that's the CCT review team, ATRT, whatever reviews are ongoing. The question is, does that review have to stop the processing of or the commencement of another application window? So how does everyone feel about that? I see Anne's hand is up. I don't know if that's an old one or new one, but definitely interested to hear people's thoughts.
Hey, Jeff, it's Anne. Just very quickly, what we have right now is CCTRT review results were turned in while this policy work was being done. It seems like the things, they could run concurrently, but the issue is, when do you incorporate those recommendations if they're adopted by the board? So it's a question of how you do that in tandem, how you get those recommendations included in whatever's the next round. Do you say, that when the board adopts those recommendations, they automatically apply the next round, or do you initiate another policy process, or how do you move on that? What's the logistical coordination? Thank you.
I could turn that question around and say, what do you think?
What do I think? I think, that we're probably talking about launching an ongoing, policy development process that results from reviews. That may be what's intended by the bylaws. Now, whether what that means is that we're going to launch another PDP based on the review and keep application windows open while that's happening, I'm not absolutely persuaded that that's wise, depending upon what the results of the review are. If there's serious issues in the review, maybe that should stop around.
So thanks, Anne. And but maybe that, just to kind of play little devil's advocate, maybe that should be a specific recommendation of the CCT review team. If it's that major, they should then make a recommendation that future rounds stop until this issue is solved. So the question then is, what's the default, right? Is the default you wait until the CCT review is done and they may or may not have results, they may or may not require a policy process depending on what they recommend? And I guess that would go against the policy goal of not having indefinite periods of review. So that's what we're trying to balance here. So let me go to the queue and then I'll go back to the chat because there's some good comments in the chat as well. So I have Jamie and then we'll go to the chat.
Thanks, Jeff. Jamie Baxter for the record. I think I would actually agree with what was just said about having the opportunity to put things on hold if there were major issues. I think that actually sounds reasonable. But what I wanted to comment on was actually looking at this from the applicant's perspective. For example, if you're putting together an application and you're ready to submit it into the next round, and then out of nowhere there's a new policy adapted that could throw you for a loop, it seems like there needs to be, if that's the way it's going to happen, there needs to then be built in a communication period to make sure that applicants actually understand some of those policy changes. So I think it, you know, it gets complex and complicated if it's just ongoing. Whereas I think, and I don't see myself on either side of the fence here, I just want people to think about that. Right now, there's sort of a stop. Everybody's going to wait and see what the policy changes are, and then applications are going to be accepted. But in the other scenario, it's just a rolling application process and you've completed it and about to submit, and then new policies are adopted because you haven't necessarily been part of what we are doing right now. How is that going to be perceived by potential applicants in the future? So just something to think about, I think. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Jamie. And presumably when we talk about rounds and application windows in a future subject, we'll talk about communication periods and what needs to be in it and how long they need to be. So I would, if someone was planning on applying, I think in a subsequent round, there would still, it would, perhaps you can say any changes must be implemented prior to the start of a communications period so that there is notice to anyone that wants to bid. That's another thing we could say to make sure that no one's disadvantaged. Let me go back to the chat as people are thinking about these questions. So there was some discussion on the different types of reviews, and they're in the bylaws. Let's see, Maxime says, this is what he said when he raised his hand. Reviews are required by the bylaws. Donna says, okay, so sorry, there's just more back and forth about the reviews. Martin says, I agree with Maxim, the reviews can take place in parallel. These should be considered as opportunities for continual improvement. Annabeth agrees with that as well. Martin says it really depends on what the output recommendations are from each review. So what we could do, if again, depending on how the group turns on this issue, you could say that if the CCT wants to stop something, you know, for whatever reason, it needs to specifically recommend that. It needs to go to the community, but the default would be these regular intervals, and we'll talk a little bit more about what those regular intervals would be. Let's see, Phil Buckingham agrees. Justine, ideally CCT reviews should be incorporated automatically and done in parallel. Susan says, but a CCT would not develop new policy, would it? Right, wouldn't it make recommendations which would then be there needs to be a PDP? That is true. And Cheryl says that's correct. Martin says policy material changes during the application process should be minimized to maintain predictability. Yeah, Martin, that would be dealt with through the change process, which we've had a number of discussions on, and the predictability model. So that relates to that. We're talking about, so I don't think anyone's talked about stopping or changes in a round that's already ongoing. Donna says this becomes a timing issue. I would say that one work effort should not toll another unnecessarily. The CCT review team took 12 months longer than anticipated. I think it was more than that, but yes. And similarly for this effort, the question for me is who decides if one effort will toll another effort. There's some conversation about work track 5. And then Anne says some recommendations go to the PDP, but others go straight to the board. So it's the board that adopts CCT review team. Okay. So, and then there's always, as Anne says, there's a possibility of a temp spec, although that's only been done once, and that was pretty extreme. Maxime, please.
Maxime Zuba for the transcript. Actually, the wording is if board accepts it. So if it doesn't, then nothing precedes the next round. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Maxim. So, I mean, it seems to make sense because our principle is not having indefinite periods in between application windows. I'm sorry, let me go to Kathy. Sorry, Kathy's hands up. I'll go to Kathy.
Jeff, this is Kathy. Go ahead and summarize, please, because I'm going to actually move back to something we were talking about earlier. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Kathy. So this is Jeff. It seems I'm not hearing anyone really strenuously arguing that the fact that, yes, we all acknowledge that there are reviews that have to be done. And of course, there may or may not be results out of that review, and nobody knows how long those reviews actually will take and what the outcomes of those reviews would be, some of which may need to go through another PDP, some of which, in theory, the board could do on its own. I'm not hearing a strenuous call for stopping windows simply because there's a review. However, there should always be an option for a review team to make a recommendation that things be told if there's a serious enough problem that needs to be, and they demonstrate that there's a serious enough problem that needs to be solved prior to the start of another subsequent application window. So I think that's a summary, but Kathy, please go ahead.
Great, thanks, Jeff. So I'm seeing a few, I don't think they're major, but I think they're important policy goals for this section, which would seem to belong under the policy goals and after the three bullets already there. And I wanted to check with you and with others. One is to reflect the reviews and their results. The other is adequate time periods for comments and objections. As you mentioned, it wasn't just non-commercial that was commenting on this. And of course, this was something in our original rules. So any objection to expansion of the policy goals to ensure again, reviews and comments and objections, that participation from non-applicants, from the community. I'll pause there and then I have another question.
Okay, thanks, Kathy. So let's go to the reviews first. So adding a policy goal saying that reviews, I'm trying to think of what exactly you want to say. Obviously that, the fact that there's ongoing rounds should not stop any required reviews from taking place. However, those reviews can proceed in parallel with the introduction of subsequent application windows, provided that the results of implementation of any reviews would kick in, sorry for the slang, but essentially would kick in when next subsequent round begins after the implementation has been agreed upon. Is that kind of the principle you're saying?
I'll defer to the people who are commenting on it, but it definitely is a placeholder for the wording. It sounds good to me. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Let me read the comment from Anne. We may have an accountability issue here. Continuing reviews are part of the reassurances given in the IANA transition, so I'm not sure what positions may be taken by various constituency stakeholders on whether or not subsequent rounds should proceed and not be held up by CCT or ET reviews. Seems like a good question to put out for public comment. No way can PDP policy result in reviews not taking place. Bylaws override that. And Susan, or Maxine, puts in the part of the bylaws that refer to it. And Susan says, there's not been any suggestion that the reviews not take place. I agree. So no one's saying the reviews shouldn't take place. What people are saying is that reviews can occur in parallel or should occur in parallel with the launch of application windows as the reviews are called for in the bylaws. And provided that the results of any applicable review are, are put into the next subsequent application window that launches after implementation has been agreed upon. Sorry, that's not the most best precise wording, but I think that's the concept. Okay, and so Anne's comment is that I did say that as a policy, the round shouldn't stop reviews, and Anne was pointing out that we don't have the authority to do that. Yeah, I think that is true. I think I probably worded it better the second time around. So I don't know. I see Kathy and Maxime's hands are up, but I can't. Are those new hands?
It is a new hand.
Okay, Kathy, please.
Great. Okay, so an additional bullet point now after the specific reviews for the policy goal of comments and critiques, because of course we have a variety of comment participation that takes place after an application, and as well as objection periods. So that's an important part of our policy goal, is to get the public input on applications. So I would recommend, and as you said, a number of groups commented on the importance of this. So I think we need another bullet point just saying that this is our policy goal as well, to allow, you know, to facilitate this public comment and critique. And also I wanted to ask you a question. It's interesting. Let me jump back. I don't have it in front of me. Let's stop there for a second, and then I'm going to refer back to the subsequent. So first, can we have that additional bullet point, Jeff, just to hold that place as an important policy goal, which is public input on the applications?
Okay, thanks, Kathy. I'm going to answer that with a question, and I think I know where this is going. So I think we may be able to add that bullet point, but let me ask a question first. And that's bringing in the notion of first come, first serve. So there were a couple registries that said that first come, first serve would be okay, but not all the registries. And I think there was no other real support for the notion of first come, first serve, at least for the foreseeable future. I want to make sure that this group is in line with that. Before we add a bullet point that Kathy, or before we go about adding that bullet point, Kathy, and I think it'll be easier once we kind of talk about that. So let me ask about the notion of first come, first serve. Most of the groups were vehemently against it. I think there were some registries, again, that were for it. I don't remember okay, the IPC reserved, wanted to reserve on that. So let me ask for the people that have hands up. So let me go to Maxim and then back to Kathy and anyone that has an idea about first come, first serve.
Maxim Alzoba, for the record. Actually, I was trying to talk about CTRT. If we read in bylaws, there are no words that you don't do anything until it's over. The only item is saying if the board adopts. If board doesn't adopt, nothing prevents the next round. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Maxime. I think that's a good point and probably one we should include. And going to, okay, then we have Kathy, then Donna.
Thanks, Jeff. This is Kathy. So, hey, I wanted to note something from the initial report, and that it seems to we seem to have an open question on this yet in 2.2.3, but in the initial report, and I can post this in the chat if people want it, in 2.2.1.C.1, in a shaded box holding it out, it says the working group recommends no changes to the existing policy calling for subsequent application rounds introduced in an orderly, in an ongoing, orderly, timely, and predictable manner. So the initial report sets out the concept of rounds, and I think the bullet points that we're talking about, including the new bullet point that we're talking about, support that and provide additional rationale, policy rationale for it from the perspective of all the stakeholders. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Kathy. And that's where ultimately I think that we're going to get back to. And that was what the initial report said, but we put the notion out for public comment. And as some people are putting in the chat here, Jim agrees with what we were saying. Cheryl has noted the objection from the ALAC to first come, first serve. Christopher Wilkinson, and I think also objects. And then Justine put in the, I think, more specific language there. So I'm not hearing, oh, sorry, Donna, you're in the queue. Sorry, Donna.
Hey, thanks, Jeff. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, great. Donna Austin from Newstar. So given that Newstar was one of the entities that supported the notion of a first come first serve, I just wanted to note that, you know, if the preference is for rounds on an ongoing basis, we're not opposed to that. I do actually think that first come first serve will be the way forward, but I appreciate that that is not until sometime into the you know, long dark distant future. So I just wanted to note that from a Newstar perspective, we're okay with rounds at this point. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Donna. And certainly we will note that. And of course, as with, if we did have consensus on this issue, there's still the opportunity for anyone to put in minority statements or other kinds of statements as well. So I see Christine in the queue.
Hey, thanks. This is Christine, Jeff. So yeah, just to piggyback a little bit on what Donna said, I think, you know, for the registries that I talk to and including Amazon, I think one of the things that we think about when we think about first come, first serve versus rounds is I think the concern is that rounds in this last iteration has been such a long window, such a long time. And so the fear is that if we just say rounds, it's going to be, you know, one round, and then it'll be another 10 or 12 years. So that's where this idea of, and if you look at what the bullet point says about registries, you know, first come, first serve or regular windows. I mean, I think the point is whether it's truly first come, first served or quarterly or twice yearly windows where it's kind of rolling. And, you know, there's different applications and different statuses at different times, but you don't finish out an entire process before you start the next one. So I think that that's where some of the registries at least came down on that. And so I think for us, the biggest concern is just making sure that it's not 10 years between rounds.
Yeah, thanks, Christine. I think that's important. And that's why we also have that, you know, bullet point in there about regular and recurring basis, and that it's not an undefined period of time. So taken as a whole, if you added the policy goal of doing these in rounds because of the rationale that Kathy was explaining, that a lot of the groups had put in their rationale of having predictable periods of time, not just for applicants, but for the community to react to applications. You know, we're recommending all of these as a package. And if you unwind one, you're going to unwind the others. And so it's just as important as a policy goal to make sure it's regular and recurring as it is to just do rounds. So I think if we word it in that way, I think that's, they should be taken together. Okay, so going back to Kathy and the wording that you had suggested, I think the policy goal is, as stated, is, you know, we recommend rounds because it allows for predictable periods of not just for applicants, but for the community to react to applications and write that in there. I think with that, that's why I wanted to do the first come, first serve discussion before coming back to the goal. Okay. Sounds like that's okay from Kathy's standpoint. And then I see Anne's got, regarding the policy goal, it's not just subject to being operationally feasible. It should be subject to any needed further policy development. Okay, let me go to Christopher in the queue, and then we'll come back to, oh, sorry, Christine, are you back in the queue as well? Sorry, I didn't, nope, okay. We'll go to Christopher, and then let's spend a second talking about Anne's provision there. Christopher, please.
Okay, thank you, Christopher Wilkinson, again, for the record. Can you hear me okay this time?
Yes.
You can hear me? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, just to note en passant, the object of the exercise is to improve the options to users worldwide. I'm a little bit concerned that we have getting sort of categorical policy options put forward by incumbent registries. Incumbent registries have already got their GTLDs. And good luck to them, and I hope they do well. But the implication in the discussion that the incumbent registries want to take advantage of the next round to register even more new GTLDs, almost inevitably at the expense of genuine new applicants from different sectors, from different parts of the world, and for different purposes, that bothers me. We're in this to enlarge the domain name system to areas and objectives and purposes which are not presently served. And I think the incumbent registries could as an expression was once made years ago, a period of silence would be welcomed. Please explain how other registries could join this club, not how incumbent registries could get even more of it. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Christopher. I'm not sure I draw that connection. I think there's a number of people that have made comments here that are not affiliated with any of the incumbent registries that support the idea of rounds. And in fact, predictable rounds to me would support the notion of getting more new entrants in, because we're affording the world predictable periods of when they could apply and when others could respond. So I'm not quite sure I see that.
Okay, Jeff, if it goes that way, good. Let's see how we can make it go that way. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Christopher. And then to look at the chat, Justine put in the comment from the ALAC, which certainly didn't want first come, first serve in this immediate round. And then as far as first come, first serve later on, it was just concerned about assessment and contentions. And Christine points out that you can't really have contention sets without windows. Anne says, if the board determines more policy work is required, or if the GNSO itself so determines based on CCT review team results, then there has to be a mechanism for a pause. So I think what we're saying, Anne, is that the default is that it goes forward. There's always a mechanism for a pause if the GNSO and the board and the community gets together and says, no, stop. We've been operating for the last 7-10 years on the default being you're stopped until someone says to go. This is changing the default from you keep going in these regular intervals until someone tells you you need to stop. So I think that's really the only what we're talking about here. So Phil, Phil Buckingham posts something about when a round is completed. So we're not quite there yet. I want to get these initial policy goals and discussions underway before we get to some of those other questions about when is that regular interval and how do we measure that interval. So I think that is coming up. And in fact, why don't we have that conversation? So if we, Steve, can you scroll down? Keep going. Okay. So in this C1, question C1 basically says that there's really two ways that we can do these regular intervals. Either you can do an interval based on time, like saying, you know, you're going to start this round on X date, and then you'll start the next subsequent round on X plus 2 years date, right? So you could set a specific time, or you can set criteria around when you would start the next round. And that could be, you know, when, as we say in that highlighted language, the example we gave, which was just for discussion purposes, it was not a recommendation, but for illustrative purposes, you could say something like, the next round will occur either on this date certain, January 1, 2023, or 9 months following the date in which 50% of the applications from the last round have completed initial evaluation. So on that notion, the notion of predictability in regular intervals had support from most of the commenters. Some of the commenters said that they would prefer specific dates or periods of time. Others thought that it would be better for some criteria based because you don't know the number of applications there are going to be. And so to just throw out a date like a year from then or 2 years, you know, maybe difficult not knowing how many applications you're going to get. And then the EFF public interest community says that there should be years so that there could be full and fair public review. And then there were some suggestions that maybe you can treat brands differently from INTA. And ICANN org's concern was if you had a milestone, we need to be very specific as to how to measure that milestone. So what is it? So if we all support milestones, then we can take that comment into consideration and figure out how to be more specific. So with that said, I see in the chat, there's some discussion on who would have the authority to say stop. Okay, so that's to the previous question. Maxime says, I would replace 2023 with a particular year. That was just an illustration. That's not meant as a recommendation, just to clarify. Anne is saying, we're essentially saying that the GNSO has to launch a PDP or EPDP to study the question and develop policy as to whether any upcoming round should stop or not. That's still on the time period. So there's discussion on the authority of putting stop. Let me go to the question, though, of the intervals and whether people have thoughts on that. I'd like to just go away from the question of who's got the authority, because I think that's speculation right now. I think that might require some research. So I want to get to talk about this question. So Maxime, you have your hand up.
Maxime Alzoba, for the record. It's about that example of 2023. The reason I would recommend the replacement with the word in a year or the year is that if we leave the particular number there, it might be used for some reason in the implementation. So we might suffer from that. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. So I see what you're saying. I think it was a particular date certain. Maybe we could put those words in instead of January 1st, 2023. It was supposed to get the vagueness out of it. I see what that's always the problem when you use an example, but I wanted the wording alone explaining the concept may not have been clear. Let me go to Kathy.
Sorry, coming off mute. Thanks, Jeff. This is Kathy. So just by way of changing the example, the wording of the example that we're looking at in terms of kind of metrics, what about if we said something like subsequent introduction of new GTLDs after this round will occur on such and such a date, or 9 months following the date in which X percent of the applications from last round have been delegated. As we've talked about now, and as the comments talked about extensively, after the applications come in, that's when a lot of other groups' work really starts, including the community's involvement and comments and objections. So to have, 75% of the GTLDs delegated means that a lot of that work is done. A lot of the work of the community is done, as well as the applicants, as well as the operational, of course, and financial evaluations. So just wanted to throw out that the term, delegated, it could help us a lot here. And also wanted to see if we can put in, referencing back to something Christopher said, that's also in the non-commercial stakeholder group comments, this idea between rounds of letting the Global South and other groups know that a round is opening is very important, kind of the marketing and education aspects. And that's something I would think for ICANN largely to do. But that letting people know of the next round, and especially those who don't participate as actively, the regions that don't participate as actively, I think we should include that as something that we're working on as a goal. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Kathy. I'm going to take other people's comments on your proposal, except on the last one, there's a whole separate subject talking about communication periods. I'm going to put that in a separate place or defer that subject until we talk about the communication period, because I don't think once we solidify this, that'll help us with that discussion. But I don't think that discussion of the communication period belongs in this section, but that is up for discussion. But let me go to others to comment on the criteria being delegation as opposed to initial evaluation. Donna, please.
Thanks, Jeff. Donna Austin from Newstar. So I think if you have a date certain with a qualifier for, you know, 50% or whatever have to be through delegation. I think the problem there is that you take away from predictability, because you don't, you know, as we saw from the 2012 round, there are things that can impact, you know, that many things through the delegation. You know, initial evaluation is a little bit, I think you're going to get into less problems. But I'm really concerned that if you add delegation in favour of, you know, take out initial evaluation in favour of delegation, the predictability element of the process will go away. And the other thing I'm concerned about, the other thing as well, is if you have, predictable dates for the next three rounds, say, then that may help with that pent-up demand issue, because people may decide, I don't need to get my application ready by the first date, but I'll certainly be ready for the second date. The only difference is, you know, it might change which string that you're applying for, but that's the only, you know, that I can think through in my mind. That's the only difference that there would be. So if you have, you know, three dates for the next application windows, that gives you predictability. If you say that, you know, this is when we're going to open the next round, but the date for the second round may change because we may not have the requisite 50% through the delegation, I think that takes away from the predictability aspect. So I wouldn't be in favour of going down that path. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Donna. And I put a question into that as well. Delegation seems, it took a lot of years for a certain percentage of TLDs to be delegated, but I'm not sure, you know, when Kathy, when you were talking about the work from the community, I mean, objections, most of the work was done up front and then during those proceedings, but as Donna was saying, you know, you start the round, I mean, starting a communication period and then new applications. And then the initial report made a recommendation that you would not start processing applications until, you know, you would finish processing applications in one round before you start processing the next round. So I'm not sure, again, the overlap would be that burdensome to the rest of the community, but I want to hear why from others. We got Maxime, Christopher, and then Jim.
Maxime Alzoba for the transcript. Actually, I think it's more about processing and not about the delegation, because delegation happens way after the execution of the contract, because it's, you have too many moving parts in reality, because some things you can start only after you have the signed contract in your hands. So I think it's better to describe, if we even talk about the percent, first of all, we should avoid the trap of saying that particular percent of the applications, because in case when too many applications fail because they're badly written, for example, or something, we might not reach the set threshold. And the second thing is about some reasonable percent of good to go for evaluation, for example, applications or something. And I wouldn't recommend to talk about delegation because it might be a year after everything is fine. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Maxime. And it was suggested also, someone had said, well, maybe signed agreements. I think that's problematic too, because I think that, you know, it's not under the control of one party, of ICANN. So the people could decide not to sign agreements. People could, you know, specifically delay contention set resolutions for, you know, a long period of time, at least according to this last round. So, you know, for predictability, we need to find some objective criteria, especially because that's one of our goals, is predictability and regular intervals. So let's see, are there predictable elements that we could latch on to? Christopher and Jim.
Hi, thank you, Chair. Christopher Wilkinson for the record. You can hear me this time? You're hearing me?
Yes, sorry, yes.
Yeah, you're hearing. Okay, good, thank you. I have a certain experience in this area, but I won't bore you with that. In my view, you can legislate for the opening of the windows for applications, and you can legislate for the closing of the window for applications. You cannot, in all reasonableness, legislate for the closure of the windows applications for reasons which Maxime and Donna have already indicated. It will be inevitable that you will have a fairly complex pipeline of last Windows applications, current Windows applications, next Windows applications. You can close the windows, but you can't close the process which leads to contract and delegation and launching of the domains. Now there may be, and apparently in 2012 there certainly were, cases where it took years to try and resolve the issues. Now, at some juncture, you will need some rules and precedents and best practice to close down open applications which have never been resolved. But I think that's a separate issue. It's housekeeping. It's not part of predictability. Predictability is about what is likely to lead to success. Something that doesn't lead to success after 10 years was never going to be predictable and won't be predictable in the future if you allow it to happen. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Christopher. You're right. I mean, we do need to think about predictability because that's one of our policies. Justine says she agrees that delegation is problematic. Anne asks a question about the appeal mechanisms, how that would impact. I think it's a good question. We need to save depending on what we agree upon here. Jamie agrees with Donna that anything beyond initial evaluation is going to lower predictability. Maxime is pointing out that even though ICANN's ready to sign an registry agreement, the other party's not forced to sign it that day and could be good reasons why they're not. Some applicants were not in a hurry to proceed to delegation, Catherine is saying, even though they wanted the faster passing initial evaluation. And Martin says, if we can't apply a fixed period start dates, I would expect the percentage passed initial evaluation to be a reasonable way forward. Given the earlier discussions, there could be specific and major reasons to halt the process. Jim, you're next in the queue, please.
Great. Thanks, Jeff. Jim Prendergast for the record. So a couple points. One, I know there's been some concern raised in the chat about whether there's still TLDs that haven't been delegated from the previous round. And that's accurate, but we're not saying that all TLDs need to be delegated in order for the round to be considered closed. It's a percentage of them. So there's always going to be an allowance for those that are the corner cases that linger on, you know, forever and ever and ever. I do think, though, that if we are trying to assess when a round is closed or is considerably closed, I think you do have to look at delegation because that is the completion of the application process. The initial evaluation is just one step. there are several other steps beyond that until you are actually a registry operator. And I think that is the true measure of when a round would be closed or when it would not. I would just point out, and I've pointed out in the past, but I think it's worth noting that an extreme definition that I can use is of when a round is closed is, you know, they still believe that the 2012 round is ongoing, and that's the justification that they use for not dispersing any of the excess application fees that they've taken. So just in summary, I think a true measurement of how completed a round is if you measure delegations and not measure applications that have passed through evaluation. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. But just a question, you know, we're not trying to define when a round is closed at this point. We're trying to define when it might be okay to start the communication period and the launch of the next application window. Does that change anything in your mind? We're not saying closed because that could, you know, that's more of an issue with respect to, that could also be an issue with when to start the application window, but it could also be just for the monetary aspect. So just to clarify your comments, are you also talking about delegation should be used as to when to open up the next round?
One thing is certain, I need more caffeine. We can agree on that. Because I've missed that nuance. I'd have to think about it. But I'll come back on the list or come back in the chat and answer it.
Sorry. Thanks, Jim. Took me a second to get off of mute. It was not working. Maxim pointed out that there is an icon for I need coffee. And I may not have worded that well. I was just saying that the question here is when we can open up the next application window, which may or may not be related to when the previous round is closed. So it is possible, for example, I'm not making the recommendation. I'm just saying you could have multiple rounds, quote, open at the same time and not have a closed round for this purpose. There are options. So I just was asking for clarification. So Jim and Christopher have their hands up. I don't know if that's left
over. It's a new hand for me.
Yeah, Jim, please.
So let me just play this out a little bit. So essentially what we would do is, you know, let's run with the, 75% of the applications have been evaluated. Then we announce that, okay, the next round is going to take place, you know, at a certain date and or 9 months following. But the previous round won't have closed, and you could still have issues that are coming out of that round that could impact the newly announced round. Is that correct, or am I overthinking that?
Well, if you were to do that, and Steve's got his hand up, but if you were to do that, you'd have to set rules such as, you know, you can't apply for a string that's already been applied for in the previous round, so you can't create new contention sets. I mean, you'd have to have some rules around that, but yes, that is a possibility. Again, I'm not advocating for that. I'm just saying that it is possible to start the next round. You just would say you can't apply for anything that is the same. And there would be the string similarity and other tests for anything that was previously applied for, whether or not it's been processed.
I guess the one thing I'm trying to calculate in my head is, are there problems with a premature announcement of the next round? For example, do you tell everybody, hey, you know, get ready, come apply, and then you got to put the brakes on them for whatever reason, something I can't think of right now. But are there problems with that premature announcement that leads people to file applications that are then placed on hold while something from the previous round is settled? That's the one thing I'm working through in my head, and I don't know if others have answers or thoughts on it. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Jim. That does help. And I'm not sure, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but there may be things I'm not thinking. Well, Maxine put name collisions. Well, we don't know how that issue is going to be handled. There's studies and things ongoing. So, Steve, please, sorry.
Thanks, Jeff. I'm not sure if Christopher had his hand up first, but.
No, I defer to Steve.
Thanks, Christopher. This is Steve Chan from staff, and I was just hopefully going to be able to provide a different angle or a different perspective to look at the issue. When I guess from the staff perspective, when we look at this, if you say 50%, recognizing there was an example, 50% of applications that clear initial evaluation or 50% that clear delegation, either of those can be construed as being somewhat arbitrary in selection. So another way you could potentially look at the issue is in terms of limiting factors. What are the limited factors in being able to initiate the subsequent round if you're looking at regular procedures? And so what would allow those limiting factors to be cleared essentially? So I think some of the things that were identified is the operational readiness of ICANN, or it could be one of those limiting factors, or the specific reviews or any subsequent policy development could also be a limiting factor. Readiness of the community or the folks that are observers to the program. So in other words, trying to identify what those limiting factors are and then trying to identify what would allow clearance of those in order to initiate the next round. So to hopefully avoid selecting what could be a more arbitrary selection of a 50% of whatever. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve. This is Christopher Wilkinson. For the record, very quickly, Jeff, since Steve has said most of it. First of all, the size and frequency of windows depends very much on the resources in terms of staff and budget that the staff can are authorized to address to these evaluations. We've heard very little about that. I've raised the question once or twice, and I understand that it's tricky for the staff to commit in one direction for another, but we should all accept that the evaluation process is resource intensive. Secondly, as I've already said, inevitably after two or three years of this, the pipeline will be complex. That is unavoidable. Thirdly, my original proposal, which I think Jeff has deferred to later discussion, but insofar as the windows are explicitly distinct, the feedback that I think it was Jim who was mentioning between last year's windows and next year's windows, the feedback could be kept under control. But above all, it's a question of resources. Thank you, Steve.
Okay, thanks. This is Jeff, and I'm going to do something kind of rare and disagree with my ICANN policy cohort. Or maybe it's not disagree, but I'm not sure how that helps for predictability. Maybe I just didn't understand the proposal, but I don't understand how, if we just left it to say, well, when ICANN feels like it's ready, then we can do the next round. How does that help with the rest of the world know that? I mean, I think it may be arbitrary to set in a number like 50% or 75% or whatever it is. It's true, that might be arbitrary, but at least it's measurable, it's objective in terms of you know when it's been hit. I'm going to ask Steve if he could respond to that.
Thanks, Jeff. This is Steve from staff again. And to be clear, I'm not proposing anything. just to try to answer your question, I guess what would be important to know in that circumstance is when does ICANN org think that they'd be in an appropriate position to actually accept applications again? So rather than imposing a number on them, getting a sense of, you know, what is operationally feasible for them to actually be able to start. Conclude a portion of the existing round and then to be able to initiate the subsequent round. inclusive of communications and advanced warning and all that. So I guess maybe it's outreach to ICANN org to better understand, you know, what it means to them and what factors they see as preventing them from initiating a next round. So I don't know if that helps. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. But are you saying ask them now or ask them after the round begins? Sorry, I'm just trying to understand.
Thanks, Jeff. This is Steve. So I agree it is a little odd for us to have a back and forth on this kind of meeting, but I guess I'll indulge a little bit. So if I was to try to put myself in DDD's perspective, I would think that they would want to have a sense of certainty on what this PDP is going to recommend. And then they'll have a better sense of what it takes to implement not only this round, but also a sense of what it would take for subsequent rounds. So if the operating throughput is whatever, and whatever resources are needed for evaluation versus contracting, they'll have a better sense of being able to parse between those different things and know when they could actually allocate resources to dedicate towards the initial part of the process, if that makes sense. So being able to pull resources from, say, contracting over to initial evaluation to start the next round. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Steve. You know, one thing we could do is, you know, if we have just illustrations, we could always, if we're all agreed on the principle of regular intervals and we're all agreed that it should be criteria-based and or time-based and provide some of the considerations, we could kick that to an implementation review team, at which time I would think ICANN would know better some of the factors. But I'm not sure it can be something, I'm not sure it would help predictability if we said, and ICANN staff, you can decide that and the factors after we start the next round. I think that would cut against the predictability principle. Well, let me go to Maxime and Kathy.
Maxime Malzoba for the transcript. Actually, I think that the participation in the round, particular round, is based on the fact that the applicants paid all the fees, and fees are recovery basis. And it means that those fees are enough to hire persons to do something, etc., etc. Because if we're saying now that there are some limiting factors by number of staff or something else, it means that the calculations of the application fees are incorrect. I hope we are not saying this. And as I understand, the current configuration of GDD is to perform the particular tasks. And I'm not sure that somewhere in the budget it says that no, we will not have a round if we don't see. Yeah, for example, in a budget, sometimes we might see, hopefully, something saying, okay, preparations for the next round. But to say that there are no persons to process applications when the money is available because it should be paid by the applicants, I don't think it's right. There are lots of consultancy companies which would be eager to help ICANN.
Thanks, Maxim. Kathy's in the queue. So Kathy, please, and then I'll end the queue after Kathy because I do have that any other business for a couple minutes. So let me end with Kathy, please.
Great. Thanks, Jeff. So I wanted to circle back to what Steve captured, which I think is a really important concept, readiness. And I'll expand it. Readiness of ICANN.org, as he said, readiness of the GAC, readiness of the community. Rather than imposing an absolute time for restarting, I think what we're really trying to get here is a balance of predictability for applicants versus fairness and readiness for everyone else. And so I think we've had a really important discussion today, which I appreciate. And I wanted to throw out that Maxim gave us an additional measure that may be useful. We've talked about initial evaluation. We've talked about delegation. But he threw out a third one, which is execution of contract, the percentage of applicants who have executed their contracts. And that may be another measure as well, getting to the concept that Jim was talking about, which is kind of the completion of the process before starting another round, the completion of the process, which gets to the concept that Steve gave us of readiness of all the groups who are going to be involved in the next round to be ready for that process and that round to start. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Kathy. So we'll pass around the notes from this and restructure this document sort of in the same way that we did for the predictability into what we think we have agreement on and what still needs to be answered. I think this was a pretty good discussion. We need to work through some of these things on email, so we'll figure out how to make some progress on that. Just a quick 2 minutes on the GDD summit, and there were others there, so if I miss anything or overstate them, let me know. There was one session that I was asked to lead at the GDD summit based on an update as to where we were as a PDP. And so I went through some of the timelines and the things that were presented in Kobe, so there's nothing new there. There are some slides that were, I believe that they're on the GDD site now. I'll defer to Steve to see if they're on there. But we spent the time, I thought it would be useful to spend some time, at least with the contracted parties, of talking about specific items like testing requirements and technical requirements and an RSP pre-approval program. And we're going to be talking about all those issues too, but I thought it would be a good opportunity to get some specific comments from the contracted parties. To the extent that there is any feedback from that session, we will include those in our discussion, in our working group discussion. So you'll have the benefit of those, or I believe the session was recorded so anyone can listen to it. I don't know if they're being transcribed. I'm not sure what the policies are on transcribing those things, but certainly I believe it was recorded. It was, and so Steve can maybe able to, or Julie or Emily may be able to tell you where that's at. In fact, I see going, I think it's Steve that's going there now. So that's what happened at the GDD summit. I don't know, is anybody else that was there want to report anything else from the summit? And Jim has put in I think that's the link, Steve. I think Jim put it in there, the link to the session. So I think it was actually, oh, please don't hit play. I don't need to see myself on a microphone. I think it was pretty productive. I think we got some of the registries and some other participants that don't usually participate. We got them thinking about the next round and some issues and RSP pre-approval, stuff like that. So I think it was a good session. So there you go. You have the links to those. Are there any questions? Comments? Anyone that was there? Okay. Well, just looking down the chat. Thank you, everyone, for attending. Please do continue to comment on email. I'll try to get some things out shortly, but we really need to make some progress and get through some of these issues. I know we're spending a lot of time on these, but at the end of the day, I think some of these overarching issues, once we come up with recommendations, are going to help us when we get to the more narrow issues that we have to get to in the future. So next subpro call at 0300 hours, May 21st, 2019. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. Bye for now.
Hi, Cheryl. Thank you, Josh. Everyone, today's meeting is adjourned. You can disconnect your lines now and have a good rest of your day or night.